Good morning. My name is Bill Sturgeon. I am the producer and host of WTBR's Morning Drive. As you know, we have an election coming up in September, and WTBR being community-based radio and PCTV being Pittsfield community-based television, we are going to air interviews with all the candidates in the preliminary election that responded to our invitations. The order of presentation is exactly how we receive the candidates. First come, first on. Last come, it will be the last interview. Please vote. Please vote. Thank you and God bless. Keep on. Good morning, everybody. This is WTBR's Morning Drive. My name is Bill Sturgeon as part of being part of community radio, being part of the community television, being part of the community. We, something I've been doing now for many, many years, well, all the years I've been on the radio and television, is interviewing the candidates because I want you to get to know the candidate, not just an article or a two-minute blurb on one of the radio stations or TV stations. This will be about 28 minutes, and then well, when we get to the other main election in November, we'll talk again. So, Brittany, please introduce yourself.
Good afternoon. My name is Brittany Bondani, and I'm currently running for the Ward 2 City Council seat.
And Brittany, I'm asking everybody this question. What made you run?
I think I'll do a good job. That's what made me run. I'm new to Pittsfield. I moved here in the summer of 2021, so about 2 years ago after I sat for the bar exam. I live on North Street, so I live in the heart of downtown. I walk to work. I walk to most places that I go to throughout the week, so I can see firsthand, you know, the possibilities that are here in the city of Pittsfield. And I think the best way to contribute is to be hands-on and to go after things yourself. You know, I'm really looking forward to being more involved in the community. I think I can make great decisions. I think I can build relationships with constituents, you know, residents even outside of Ward 2. So the short answer is I think I would do a really good job.
Okay. And going back, just give us a 30,000 foot view of who you are.
Okay. Well, I guess we can start with my genesis, right? My parents. My father's from Iran. My mother's from Sweden. They both emigrated to the United States where they had my brothers and I. My father is also a retired lieutenant colonel, USMC. So I moved a lot as a kid. My older brother was born in California. I was born in Connecticut. My younger brother was born in Florida. So you can kind of get an idea of how much I really moved around as a kid. I consider Connecticut home base. I went to UConn for undergrad. Shortly after I graduated from undergrad, I actually worked on cruise ships. I was a youth entertainer on cruise ships for several years, which was honestly the time of my life. I traveled all around the world. I wouldn't give up that time for anything. As I was approaching my 30th birthday, I was like, you know what? I want to go back to school. What do I want to do? I decided on law school. I went to Western New England here in Springfield. I lived there for 3 years while I was getting my JD. Sat for the bar, got the job at Community Legal Aid, moved to Pittsfield in August of 2021 and haven't looked back.
Excellent. Well, thank you for that. Now folks know who Brittany is running for office. What do you believe are the three most pressing issues for your ward?
I think we can break it down into to three types of issues as well, because Ward 2 is diverse, if not the most diverse in Pittsfield. Yeah. So if we talk about the first issue, which is the physical space, right? And at the risk of sort of regurgitating platitudes and saying trigger words that I'm sure a lot of politicians use, infrastructure, right? The physical space, sidewalks, roads, things that affect the physical use of the city. In addition to that, you know, bringing back affordable housing, bringing back more businesses to North Street. So that's sort of the physical element. The second one is operational, right? Fiscal responsibility, transparency. What are we doing with our money? What are the taxpayers, you know, reaping after they pay those taxes? So I think that's the second issue, right? Is paying attention to how funds are spent, making smart decisions, and engaging in fiscal responsibility. And then the third issue, I think, is all about community. and people. I think we have a large population of underserved residents of Pittsfield who are dealing with homelessness, substance use problems. And I think that, you know, it's a pressing issue. You know, people want to talk about the panhandling and, you know, I live downtown, I see it myself, but I think it's so much deeper than that. I think it's about connecting with our residents in most need. I think it's about making services widely available, educating people, doing outreach. So those to me are the three main issues.
And they're not only for your ward. What would be the issues for the entire city if you had to, because too often, and a good friend of mine, he's no longer a counselor, Chris Connell, there was a big hullabaloo about something outside of his ward, but they were going to vote on a whole new ordinance. And Chris said, whoa, time out. That affects the whole city. Why don't we address the issue in the ward? And I think that's great.
I think that there's two ways to look at that. So yes, each ward has its designated representative, but city council is collaborative, right? You have to look at things holistically. You have to see how the wards work together, which, you know, makes the city of Pittsfield. So I think looking at that from two sides, right? And just as a caveat, constantly making more laws doesn't always address problems, right? So getting a new ordinance, you know, to address a specific issue doesn't necessarily mean the root of that issue will be resolved. So I'm not necessarily giving, you know, a blanket statement about, well, let's just make more laws, right? So I think it's twofold. You got to look at things collaboratively. The city council has to work together, but you also have to look at specific issues within each ward because they are very different from each other. So I think it's both. I can't give you one answer or the other. Is it just the ward or collaboration? I think you have to look at it from both sides.
Very good. And I think one of the other things, I have to ask you this because I have had one text, I've had hundreds. Well, how do you feel about the bike lane on North Street as it is?
So it's tough because, you know, if and when you get elected, your job is to answer to your constituents. You got to go with what the residents tell you they want. That's your job as a representative. You make decisions on behalf of people that live in your ward. So if you're asking my personal opinion, you know, my perspective is I walk everywhere. So, you know, I think if I was someone who was commuting in for work, I think if I was someone who routinely had to drive on North Street, it would perhaps be something that I see in a more negative light. Because I'm walking everywhere, you know, it's not something that I see as big of a problem as some residents have told me it is. So again, putting aside my own personal perspective and listening to the residents, you know, overwhelmingly from the people I have spoken to, there are some issues with it. You know, a lot of people are unhappy, but a lot of people are also really grateful that they're there. So I think it's about balancing, you know, overall what the residents feel.
Do you, and I'm not going to take that on. I think it was a nice answer. Would you contemplate another design rather than this one?
So because I'm not an engineer, right, I can't come up with these perfect sort of ideal solutions, but certainly part of being a representative is having those conversations, right? And certainly if things are cost effective and there's other options, they should be pursued. I know that a lot of money went into putting those bike lanes down on North Street. And I know that it took time and there were mixed reviews. So I think ultimately it would be about having conversations as to what is best for the city, what do the people want, and how we can achieve both of those things together to the best of our ability.
Thank you for that. What is your position on building and or relocating the police station?
I live in the Onoda building, which is
right
around the corner. Every time I walk my dog, we go past Pittsfield PD and my dog is obsessed with them. As I understand it, and please correct me if I'm wrong, that police station has been there for a very long time. Is it the 20s, the 30s?
The 30s, yeah. That police station was in very bad repair when I was there in the 80s. So
okay. So it's an ongoing issue. Well, you know, the police are integral to our community involvement and our safety. So I think it would have to come down to, you know, what is the status of those repairs in need? I haven't been inside, so I can't give you a firsthand account of what it looks like. You know, part of being a city councilor would be, again, having those conversations with the people who are directly affected. I can't imagine a world where someone can do their job effectively if the place of business, if their building is in shambles. So unfortunately, I can't speak to firsthand knowledge of what it looks like inside, you know, what systems, what, you know, is it electrical issues, or, you know, are there issues with the entire building? So yeah, that would be a series of conversations that would need to be had in order for me to have a more informed opinion about that.
And you're pretty familiar, I would assume, with civil service, Massachusetts civil service, excuse me. There's a movement to, or some of us believe it's time to leave civil service. We now have unions with arbitrators and, you know, all that stuff that we didn't have when civil service was formed. It was formed as a protection and a guaranteed pays and promotions and all that. But right now it's just taking so long to replace officers as they retire, police, fire, and other city employees, that it might be time just to probably give it up. Some Northern Berkshire towns and cities have given it up. It costs us a lot of money. If I retire, and they're telling me, and I don't know this, but they're telling me that it could take, you know, a year, 18 months, 20 months, to replace somebody. Well, in that period of time, we're paying overtime.
I think that the best way to answer that is to say we have to look at things long term. We have to consider what the consequences are going to be, not just a year from now, 5 years from now, but 10, 20 years from now. So that's something, again, comes down to conversations and long-term effects. I mean, I don't endorse a particular decision. I would have to hear from, you know, my residents and my constituents. But I think the answer to that is we need to look forward. We need to look at what the future consequences would be and not just direct consequences right in the now.
And then we'll go off one more police question. We'll go off to police. Do you believe that the chief of police and the police should have to live within the city limits?
It's interesting you bring that up, because I know that city council has discussed this very issue, and it's tough, right? If you have a candidate who's great for the position, and they've been, you know, employed already by the city, it's tough to say, you know, are they disqualified because, you know, they don't live in Pittsfield? But then on the other hand, you know, there's this idea of the person who's watching over the city and who's involved in, you know, protecting that city and ensuring safety and doing outreach should be a resident, right? That person should know what it's like to be a citizen of Pittsfield. I'm split in the middle on that. You know, if we are hungry for good candidates, why should we bar them just because they live X amount of miles outside of the city? But at the same time, there is something to be said about the chief of police should be a resident of the town over which he or she presides. You know, I think that it's safe to say that an argument could be made on both sides.
What do you find personally will be the most challenging part about being a ward counselor and having a job?
I think making time, right? Being committed to going door to door, talking to the residents. You know, I don't have any children yet, right? So I don't have the, you know, the responsibility of caring for a family yet. So I have the privilege, you know, after my workday is done, to go out and go door to door. And that's how I got the signatures that I got to even make it onto the preliminary ballot, right? So my answer to that is commitment, hard work, and a willingness to go the extra mile, literally and figuratively, to meet people.
And in doing that, there's a former ward counselor that I have the greatest respect for. It was a professor at BCC. He's retired now. He's older than I am. And, you know, I went to high school with Aristotle. So, he set aside a period of time every day. I can't remember the exact, but I'm going to say from 4 to 5:15 or 5:30 every day, he was at that phone. So, and everybody in the ward, and it used to be my ward, knew that. And I throw that out to you.
I think that's excellent. I think that being able to tell your constituents, these are the times to reach out to me, I am available. I think that that in and of itself is great because you're managing the expectations of when you're reachable and when you can speak to people directly. But honestly, you know, it goes beyond that. You need to be accessible. If you're going to represent the people that live in the city, you need to be able to be in contact with the people of the city. You know, I don't rest. I can tell you that. I keep going. My day does not end at 5 o'clock. So I'm happy to extend that to the community if it means I can help and be of service.
I can sense that. I can sense that. And for those folks, we are taping this Zoom video at about 5:47 at night. So you see how much energy she has, and you see how little energy I have. But that's not, I'm not running for it. At my age, I run from things, not for things. The schools will be involved in what's your gut, if you have one, on the school budgets? That seems to have been, or all the city budgets. There's a lot of battle cry and for cutting taxes. And I'm not sure people make the connection with you cut taxes, you cut services. So.
Absolutely. I think we have to look at that globally as a result of the COVID-19 pandemic. That just completely changed learning for our children. And even looking at the difference between Pittsfield High and Taconic, right? So you have the vocational training, and then you have, you know, the I hate to say regular, right, public school system. I have friends who work at Pittsfield High, and, you know, I guess enrollment has really struggled as a result of the virtual learning. You know, certain programs had to be cut, things had to be consolidated just because, you know, kids were having trouble showing up on Zoom. Kids were having trouble with virtual learning. I think anybody would, right? Yeah. If we look at the context globally of what COVID did for our kids and for learning in the public school system, I would venture to say that they need more support, not less. I think a lot of people are transitioning back to this word we call normalcy. I don't know that there's ever going to be a normalcy again. We have to learn to pivot, right? I disagree with the idea that they need less resources, and I think they need more.
Well, and as we go forward, looking at the global budget of the city, do you find any places that, and I know this is not a, I don't want a succinct question, you know, mandate. Are there any areas where you feel that there can be cuts?
That is so tough because you're asking, you know, of all these groups that need, of all these programs that need, of all of these, you know, systems that need, who do we, you know, take from? And I think that's hard to say. You know, I got to look at, you know, what's on the table. I got to take a closer look at the budget. I got to take a closer look with my colleagues, should I be elected, at how we can balance and be fiscally responsible. I mean, on the fly today, I can't sit here and tell you, oh, this program doesn't need any money, or you know, this effort, this initiative, these groups of people. I think everybody needs assistance, right? So we have to balance priorities in a way that makes sense to constituents. And the only way to know that, again, is to have conversations, to talk with other counselors, to talk with constituents and see what needs to be done. So indirectly, right, I don't know that I have an answer for your question. I don't know if I can say, you know, what cuts can we withstand right now? I would have to look at things more globally, you know, should I be elected?
And that, in my humble opinion, that's the correct answer, because you don't have you have a bird's eye view of the budget, like we all do, but you do not have the specificity of the line items and what they're going for.
Yeah, you got to be in the trenches. Yeah.
Yeah. You brought out a point early on about the homelessness and the street people and the beggars, and not beggars, but panhandlers. You also, what was, if I understood correctly, there's resources going there, and they may not be adequate. I guess that it, and it, I get angry for people who have these quick one, there's a solution, you know, put them all in St. Joe's High School, or, you know, put them whatever. We have a real shortage of mental health people.
Yes.
What's your thoughts? I mean, you probably get more involved with that than I do.
Well, I mean, we're talking about human beings, right? They're residents of Pittsfield. Just because they don't have a house doesn't mean they're not a resident of Pittsfield, right? And I'm a family law attorney, right? So all I deal with is human relationships. You know, I deal with people communicating with each other, sometimes at the worst parts of their lives. And I think, you know, we need to start looking at all residents of Pittsfield as our neighbors, right? Because it, when you look at it like that, like, this is our community, these are our neighbors. We need a collaborative, organized effort to deal with these issues. I think some things we can work on are outreach, right? So if we have these programs available, you know, how do we make sure that the message gets out safely? How do we make sure that people in need of these services are even aware that they exist and are able to access them, right? There are technological barriers, there are financial barriers, there are physical barriers if someone is able-bodied or disabled, there's distance, right? People having to travel when they don't have a car or a license. So I think outreach, right, is number one, being able to communicate with our residents who are struggling and being able to make sure that people are making the most of the programs that are available. I think that this is an issue that is very pressing on the city. I think we need to approach it with pragmatism, but we also need to approach it with compassion. I think that that is very important. And as you alluded to earlier, there's no one-size-fits-all solution. These are complex, intersectional things, right? These are things that come with multidimensional, you know, solutions. So we have to really focus on how we're going to reach that.
You live on in the downtown, and I will just quickly share the former mayor, who was a high school chum of mine. Let's show you how old he is. But his dream for North Street was businesses on the lower floors and living people living on the upper floors and offices and things like that. What's your vision for North Street?
Similar to that, multi-use. So multi-use, right? So I very much enjoy where I live. I love Onoda. I think it's a wonderful building. I think the residents are great. Everything is walkable, right? The courthouse is walkable. My church, St. Joe's, is walkable. The Y is walkable. My job is walkable. We've got restaurants, movie theater down the street. Everything is within walking distance. That is such a luxury, right? That is something that I really enjoy. So I agree with that. I think multi-use is great. We need affordable housing, but we need to bring back small business. I think that that's hitting the nail on the head with what we should, you know, continue to do with this downtown. I mean, it has so much potential.
I have to agree with you. I love this city, and I've lived all over the world. So but one other, and you're really, you're down there, you see it, your career field. What is pressing? What is it we have to, you know, bike lane, that drives a lot of people crazy, but that just drives them crazy. What is it, if you had a magic wand, you could wave it and say, we have to fix this, what would that be?
Access to human services, right? So outreach, ensuring that our residents who are in most need have access to the services that are available to them. What good is having all of these programs and all of these services if nobody can access them, right? It's an access issue. So I think that for me, from my perspective, you know, centered on community and human relationships and treating people as the neighbors that they are. I think for me, that is number one, closely followed by what most would consider an equally, if not more pressing issue of infrastructure, right? So I think they go hand in hand.
And you know, the pushback's going to be, it costs money.
Everything costs money. We have the money. It's just how we spend it. That's what fiscal responsibility is all about.
I can't disagree with you more. I would like to see I would like to see accountings of especially social service money. I've been in the field a long time, and you'll probably disagree with me, that's fine. But you can't just throw money at something without chasing the money to see where it's going. Is it effective?
Absolutely. Agreed. And again, that goes back to the point of looking at long-term consequences, long-term effects, long-term benefits. You know, I agree with you. Transparency is number one.
Yeah. And I thank you for that. You don't have to, but so in about a minute or so, you're going to have about 3 minutes to tell the people of why Ward 1, why they should vote, or well, I'm sorry, Ward 2.
Ward 2.
Why they should vote. Well, I was in Ward 1, so for my own, just about. Thank you for doing this. I thank everybody for running for office, because as you know, being a lawyer, the system wouldn't work if we didn't have people. And I use this, I use the word, I don't use win or lose. I use prevail and candidate. And I just think that once we get this win-lose thing, people go crazy. So now you have 3 minutes to convince all the people that are watching this why they in War 2 and elsewhere, why they should vote for you.
Well, thank you for that. I don't know that I need all 3 minutes, but I'll do the best. I endeavor to give a good elevator pitch, right? So I think the fact that I'm an outsider, that I've only been here for 2 years, can actually be a strong quality. And I think that that's because I'm a fresh perspective. I am a, you know, somewhat young millennial renter. You know, I'm a working professional. I live downtown here in the heart at North Street. And, you know, I'm eager. I want to be here. I'm doing this because I have the energy. I want to go forward. I want to talk to people. I want to hear what people have to say. And I want to represent them to the best of my ability. So I think, you know, being new to the city is a good thing. I'm not beholden to, you know, special interests. I don't have, you know, a stake in a very certain outcome. I'm new to the area and I care. I came here and I want to get involved. And I care mostly about those human relationships. I live here. I want it to be beautiful. You know, that's what I want.
And again, let me thank you for running. It's you are a career person. You have a career, you have a job. You're not. And I liked what you just said, if I may say that. You bring a fresh perspective because you weren't born and raised here. So thank you for that. Is there anything more you'd like to say or? Get out to the audience about you and
make sure to go vote. I know that a lot of people say, I don't care who you vote for. Just make sure to vote, right? It's a duty. You got to go vote. The preliminary election is September 19th and look for Brittany on the ballot.
Yes. And I say this all the time, Brittany, you copied my line. I really don't care who you vote for, but I want you to vote. And like I always say, when you walk into if you don't vote, the next time you go into a cemetery and you see all those flags fluttering in the breeze, just say, I'm sorry, I didn't vote. I didn't have the time. Because at some point, wherever one of those flags are waving, somebody at some point in their life put their life, signed their life on the line. So I best of luck.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for doing the interview. And, it's right around the corner, so we'll know who prevails.
Thank you so much, Bill. I really appreciate your time.
Well, that's fine. And thank you for coming on. And as I do with everybody, God bless and take care of each other. Why? Because each other, that's all we have. Think about it. Brittany, best of luck. Thank you for coming on the program.
Thank you so much.
Stay tuned for more Morning Drive with Bill Sturgeon here on WTBR FM.
Support for WTBR comes from Berkshire Community College. BCC provides access to higher education to everyone in Berkshire County and beyond, offering more than 50 high-quality programs, small class sizes, and an affordable education to help their students of all ages achieve their dreams. At BCC, their middle name is community. And from Sundrini Awnings and Home Improvement. retractable awnings, retractable screens, gutter and gutter protection systems, commercial awnings, and screen rooms. Customized solutions available online at Sondrini.com.
The Berkshire's only rock station, 89.7 WTBR-FM, Pittsfield, Massachusetts. And now back to the morning drive with Bill Sturgeon on WTBR-FM, Pittsfield Community Radio.
Good morning, everybody. This is WTBR's Morning Drive. My name is Bill Sturgeon. I'm going to be with you for about 28, 29 minutes, at the most 30. This is an interview for the people who are running for office, where there is a, I call it a primary, I guess they call it a preliminary election, which will be in September. So don't forget that. And today I'm honored and privileged to have with me someone I've known for many, many years. Full disclosure, we both had hair when we met. his name is Anthony Tony Mafuccio. He's been a city councilor. He'll give you his pedigree in just a moment. I will say this, as I said it to everyone, I don't care who you vote for. Tony may, but I don't. But I want you to please get out and vote. It shouldn't be 25-32 people percent representing the city. So that said, let me start the clock for Mr. Mafuccio. Ready, set, go. Go ahead, Tony. Introduce yourself and tell the people, question number one, why are you running for re-election?
Well, Bill, I have this commitment to this community. I thrive. I thrive on the city of Pittsfield. I was born and raised here. I was born on Danforth Ave. I live on Robbins Ave. I'm born and raised in Ward 7. I care about our community. I care about the future of Pittsfield. And that's why I continue to run, because I like to help people. I like to be the person to get you your answers when you want them.
Tony, how long have you been a counselor?
Well, let's see. Altogether, it'll be 10 years.
Okay.
I did 3 years from 2004 until 2010 when we made this a gateway city.
Yeah.
And I did 2020 to 2024 when we were dealing with the pandemic.
So you've been, you know where the restroom is.
Oh, I know where the restroom is.
I refer back to our colleague and friend, God rest his soul, Jimmy McCaffrey.
Yes.
When I was interviewing him one time, he said, Billy, took me a year to find out where the restroom was. So, Jimmy was a sweetheart as a person. What do you think the three most pressing problems in your ward?
The three most pressing problems in my ward?
Yeah.
Well, let's see. They're all in process, these projects, but the Pex Road Bridge, supposed to go out to bid fall and start construction late fall or early spring. The Hancock Road Bridge, the culvert project at the Dan Casey Drive Memorial. And then there is one other project, Bill. The fourth
go
one
ahead.
Is
go
the ahead. Bel Air Dam removal. So these are four pressing issues in Ward 7 on the project side that need to be completed and will be completed coming the new year going forward.
Are you certain of that?
Am I certain of that?
Yeah.
Those are just four projects that are pressed in Ward 7.
Right. But Do you really think the four or three or four will be done in a year?
Oh, definitely not.
Oh, okay.
Definitely not. What I'm saying is the projects are supposed to move forward. There
Yeah.
should be groundbreaking on that PEX Road bridge come
Yeah.
springtime. I don't anticipate it coming this year.
Okay. Okay,
They're
because
telling me late fall, early spring, but it's not even bid yet, Bill.
Oh, okay. The only reason I say that is because I go up to St. Joseph's quite often, and that has really gotten to be kind of a bottleneck and a kind of a dangerous deal. But a topic for another day. We'll discuss that.
But
Go
Bill,
ahead.
These projects are all being held up by the state.
Oh.
We're still waiting for a Chapter 85 clearance for the PEX Road Bridge.
Oh.
So the state is running a year to 2 years behind on permitting because they have a shortfall in manpower, as
Yeah.
we do too,
Yeah.
as everybody else does. So our time frame on waiting for these things become longer, and they seem like forever. That bridge has been down for 4 years. When I took office, that bridge has already been down.
Well, thank you for that. And that's for the listeners and the viewers. Thanks, Tony, for letting us know that, because it's not the city's fault. It's not the councilor's fault. It's not the DPW, the mayor, anybody else. It's the state's backlog. So that's kind of some breaking news here.
Yeah, well, just like the culvert project on Dan Casey Drive.
Yeah.
The state is coming back saying, no, we don't want you to do the culvert. We want you to build a whole new bridge there. That's what they're saying. So the city is going to jump from that project over to the Hancock Road project first.
Yeah.
Even though the causeway gets flooded out, even though we have to close the road, even though those culverts are crushed, the state is saying, no, you're not going to replace just those three culverts. We want a whole new bridge there. And you know how much money that would cost compared to replacing those two culverts?
Yeah. Yeah. What?
So the state is dictating.
Well, they do that very well.
Correct.
Yeah.
So people need to know this. It's not part of the city or the councilor's fault. It is the state holding up these projects.
Thank you for that. That is kind of breaking news, because that's the first I've heard of it. It's the first I've heard of it. So thank you for that. And I think the viewers and the listeners will thank you too. What's your position on the North Street bike lane? I will tell you, it's probably the one of the most, I've heard so much from the folks, whether FaceTime or not FaceTime, but face to face or text or telephone calls, about when is the city going to do whatever. What's your opinion?
You want to know my opinion? As
yeah.
soon as they took out the, look at, the road should be shared with bikes, just
right.
Like on the new Tyler Street, the way they did it.
Yeah.
As soon as they took that lane away, made the bikes there, the bike lane there, with a single lane, our North Street is dying.
Yeah.
It's been abandoned. It's being taken over by the homeless people. I have a heart for the homeless people. Don't get me wrong. But walk down North Street.
Yeah.
That bike lane has destroyed the concept of North Street. Everybody is avoiding North Street. They don't want to travel down North Street. So that's why you're seeing all these vacant buildings starting to pop up. Because mom and pop shops who work hard and pay a lot of taxes to stay here have to close their doors because we are now limiting the traffic on North Street because of a bike lane. So do I think this bike lane works? No. Do I think bike lanes should be incorporated into a city streetscape? Yes.
The superintendent, Mr. Morales, said that, well, they did that, that and other things to slow traffic down on North Street. Well, it depends on the hour of the day, but I have sat through the north heading north light at North and Fenn on several occasions, more than three times or more.
You and me both.
Yeah. So it slowed it down. All right. It's got it stopped. And you've nailed it on the head. People are avoiding North Street like all get out. I go down
like a plague.
Center. Yep.
It's like a plague. People don't want to go down North Street.
Yeah.
So what does that do to North Street and the businesses?
Right. Well,
it is destroying it. We have taken, I take offense to it because I was part of the reestablishing that gateway city with Mayor James Roberto and that new council. And now we've brought it to a crawl. Our businesses are going out of, our businesses on North Street are not staying, leaving, and we have destroyed the concept of a downtown gateway city.
I was with our former, or he's still our friend, but the former mayor, Mr. Roberto, Mayor Roberto, Jimmy Roberto, and his dream, I think, was like your dream. Downtown, ground floors, all businesses, restaurants, taverns, that stuff. And
exactly.
People living upstairs in the
exactly.
Apartment. And I see that kind of crumbling right now. But not just because of the bike lanes. Some of these landlords, from what I'm hearing, I don't know for a fact, third, fourth, ninth hand, that some of these rents are kind of ridiculous. But
I'm sure they are.
A topic for another day, my good friend.
Correct.
What is your position on building a new police station?
You know what? I might shoot myself in the foot for this, but I've been advocating for a new police station for years. There's a petition still sitting at the Building and Maintenance Committee asking to build a new police station that I put in when I first came into office this time. We are busting at the seams at our police department. They do not have the space that they need, and that building is so old that I support a brand new police station 100%. I support our local police department. I'm a big supporter of all our public safety departments. That's why when people are trying to take money away from the police department, I don't advocate for that. I advocate for more funding because we need more people on the streets, more foot patrols.
Yeah. Tony, this is a one. Do you advocate taking the civil service departments, be it, I know the two, police and fire, I don't know, there may be more, out of civil service in an effort to fill the vacancies and much quicker? Do you advocate taking out of civil service?
Well, that's kind of like an open-end question, because if we didn't have civil service, we could open it up more and have our vacancies filled.
Right.
But my understanding is part of collective bargaining too under civil service.
Yes,
police department, you know, they advocate to have civil service stay in position, the unions.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like an open-ended question.
Yeah, no, I know it's a difficult question. It's not an easy question, but several of the Northern Berkshire, the cities and town, a city, and towns have gone out of civil service. Today we have collective bargaining. We have unions. So they, in my opinion, in that, you know, and everybody knows the views and opinions expressed on this program are mine, those are my guests, in no way represent the city of Pittsfield, the Pittsfield School Department, Mayor Tyron, the mayor's office, Peter Marchetti, City Council, and or the UPS driver that just went down William Street. Because of arbitration, it almost serves a civil service function. That's all I'm going to say. We're on the police, we're on the fire for their overtime budgets. What some counselors, I guess, didn't understand or don't understand or don't want to understand, that they have to put so many police officers on the street every shift.
Correct.
And if they don't have the full complement, because we're waiting for civil service to come up with a test, then there's going to be overtime, and that's all I'm saying. That's my your guy. I don't, at my age, Tony, I don't run for things. I run from things. So, that's my. And I was a cop.
You know, it's gonna come down to collective bargaining. The new administration is gonna have to offer something to the unions that is substantial to get rid of civil service. And if that proposal came in front of me and everybody was on board, I would take civil service out. We all win. We can't ignore the force we have there now,
saying,
oh, we're just gonna take it out of here whether you like it or not.
No.
That's what I don't support.
That. No. And you know, I'm not for that. But
me
I'm
neither.
Saying let's sit down and chisel out something that, as you say, fulfill the both groups.
That starts with an administration and its mayor. We as city councilors are not involved in collective bargaining or arbitration.
I know. And well, those are the other one last, if you're in favor of, what's your position on the keeping or letting the police chief live within a certain distance outside of Pittsfield?
I'm going to tell you straightforward now. The three positions that they're questioning, I am in favor of residency requirement. Okay. This is how you build a community. You take from within people like the police chief. If somebody from our community should fill that position, because the community will feel better that somebody who lives and works in this position every day can build a community. Am I saying an outside person can't? No, I'm not saying that. But I, as an individual, would like to keep those three positions as retained in the city.
Okay.
I would not want to open it up. You'd have to give me a good argument, a real good argument, to convince me to get rid of that requirement. And right now, I do not have that.
Okay.
Nobody has given me a good argument. I believe to have strong public safety, police, fire, and our commissioner of public works, because that is safety also. That's our roads.
Yeah.
Our snow. We need to keep them within our community, I believe.
Okay.
That's my own stance on this, building a better community from within, not from the outside.
Well, that's it. Certainly, that's your privilege. You're running for office. And I forgot to say this. Thank you, first of all. Thank you for running for office. And because by people running for office, that's how the system works.
Correct.
I think more and more people, you know, we can see, Tony, by the councilors at large and the school committee, people don't want to get involved anymore. But I applaud you for doing it, and thank you for doing it.
Bill, would you want to get involved after watching the city for the last 4 years?
I watch it every meeting, and let me just share this with you. I watch it from a recliner with an adult beverage, so by the third hour, I don't care.
Yeah, well, I'm sitting there, and I feel embarrassed sometimes. I'm sitting on that council. I'm not going to lie.
Okay.
This council, I'm embarrassed to be part of.
And you've been on a few of them, so you know for what you're saying. Tony, we all the indicators outside of Pittsfield, are saying we could be in for a rough financial time. What are your thoughts and concerns? Again, 3 to 5 of the most pressing citywide things that you're concerned about.
Economic development, bringing jobs to the city. I haven't seen any movement on that PETA property down there. Mm. When we had a chance to get that Super Walmart,
yeah,
we should have sucked it up and allowed that Super Walmart to come here. Yeah, they're not big paying jobs, but they were jobs for the community. Our downtown, we need to rethink our downtown again. We need to bring back Third Thursdays to our downtown.
Yeah.
Not at the Common, to our downtown. You know how many of those I took part in?
Well, you know, we were always there.
Helping friends.
Yeah.
Helping friends do their food booths and everything up there.
Yeah.
We have to look at, as a city, we have to look at reorganization. Mm. There needs to be some cutbacks. And there's places to cut back. Mm-hmm. One thing is we have to look at our school system. Can we, as a city, afford to have so many elementary schools open when we have a declining population of students?
Mm-hmm.
Our students decline every year, the population. So apparently something's gone wrong and there needs to be organization done. There is cuts and people just, you know, I'm running for office. The biggest cut that I would look into is consolidating some of the elementary schools.
Well, Tony, aren't they? They have correct me if I'm wrong. I think they have a group now with outside people helping them to look, one, at the number of schools, and two, at the structure of the schools. Are
they,
we going
to stay
with the middle school? Or are we going to go back to junior high? Or are we going to go to 9 through 12? We don't. So, but those are valid. You're making valid points, bro.
It's just the way it is. So that's 3. And the 4th thing is, you know, there's always going to be taxes.
Yeah.
For people. Our budgets continue to grow, just like your budgets at home continue to grow. But you have to make cuts in your spending.
Yeah.
In order to meet your demands.
Yeah.
So you do it as a household. We as a city should do the same thing. I still think we need an independent audit of our city, using the same city auditor for 20 years. There could be some oversight there.
Mm-hmm.
I believe an outside pair of eyes needs to examine that.
Okay. So if you get reelected, that will be one of your emphasis, is to get an outsider, a new auditor.
I've been trying to do this for 4 years now. It's sitting at the finance committee meeting where it's been on the table for 4 years. So nobody in this administration or this council wants to move that project forward. I need a more progressive, professional, organized city council to work with, like I did from 2004 to 2010. We were a team then.
Yeah.
This council is not a team. It's tit for tat.
As you look back, what's changed other than that? You've been on, and I think retrospectively looking back, What's changed?
What's changed?
In your opinion, what has changed in the overall operation of the council? In your opinion?
In my opinion?
Yeah.
I believe we have good leadership. But at times, I think there could be more stern approach to come in the meetings before they get out of hand to make us all look like clowns sitting up there. We need to be better organized as a group of 11, respecting each other's opinions.
Yeah.
And then when we leave, you know, we can all debate. We all have opinions, but let's respect one another and not shoot arrows at each other. That's all I'm looking for.
Well, I will tell you, you have my support. I sit here and I watch most of the committee meetings. I watch Ivory City Council. And I think, and I've said this on air, and I don't want to take your time, but I think when city councilors are talking to department heads or city workers, show respect.
They're rude.
Show respect. Yes.
Correct.
Show respect.
Correct. No. There is none. They're rude.
Well, so listen, you're excited about running again.
I'm excited about running again.
You know,
I'll serve Ward 7 as long as the people of Ward 7 keep putting me in, and I'll keep giving them the 100% and meeting their needs the best I can to the best of the ability and voicing my concerns and fighting for Ward 7 and the city for what is right.
Tony, you've got 3 minutes, my good friend. Tell the folks of Ward 7 why they should reelect Tony Mafuccio, and when we're done, we'll close up.
Well, it's very simple. I've been fighting for you now between my two terms, a decade. I've been fighting for you for 10 years, trying to meet all your needs, and I want to continue those efforts because I want to be a part of rebuilding Pittsfield again, like we did in 2004 when we came in and we just had an army and a great group of counselors and a great mayor that went through and took this city and turned it upside down for positive reasons and moved forward. We need to continue that. We stopped at Central Block down to the Colonial Theater. That is our gateway. We need to remember that our city goes from South Street all the way down to Wakona Street.
Yeah.
It goes all the way down to my ward, and we've forgotten that. I will be advocating for Ward 7 people and for a city on things that need to redevelopment. If we don't bring and attract businesses here and try to reorganize the city, the little people are going to hurt because they're going to take those taxes that we're missing and put it on your backs to collect. That's the whole problem here. All these businesses leaving, that's going on the backs of all of us because a commercial tax is higher than a residential tax. So I will continue to fight for lower taxes for you, even though I was met with resistance from this administration and mayor. And we need to have a new, clear vision of Pittsfield. And I want to be part of that team to rebuild Pittsfield and see Ward 7 projects out that were started under my regime. And I would like to have them completed within the 2 years of my next term.
Tony, thank you. And as I always say, if you don't vote, don't gripe. Don't vote, don't gripe. And I also say, I don't care who you vote for. Tony may, but we have to vote. And this preliminary election is important. It is important. Please go and double check yourself if you have any questions about whether you're registered, not registered, you changed, you're married, whatever. Go to City Hall, get it straightened out, and please vote.
Bill, thank you for your time and having us on here.
Well, I'm doing my best. I always have. You know, I've been on before. This isn't your first rodeo. And I will say this in closing. If you don't vote, the next time you go into a cemetery and you see all those flags waving, say, I'm sorry that I didn't vote. Because at some point in time, every one of those flags denotes somebody put their life on the line so you could vote. Perfect. God bless. Tony, good luck. And thank you for running. God bless.
Thank you, Bill.
And let's take care of each other. Let's not be so darn vindictive and mean-spirited. And Tony, the best to Chris. And we'll be in touch. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Have a good evening, Bill. Good day, Bill.
You too, bro. Take care. Keep on.